Our reading today is from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 13, which you can find on page 1019 in your pew Bibles. Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. As he was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so, Lord, we come before you and ask you indeed to be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how did you respond to the news of war in Europe? Perhaps like me, on Thursday morning, you turned on the radio and were struck with this sense of complete disbelief. I can't believe it is actually happening. One European country and a nuclear power invading another. And then maybe like me, after the disbelief, you felt this sudden emotional reaction. I felt this almost brought to tears feeling. And the recognition that war brings terrible suffering. And then maybe throughout the day, like me, perhaps you felt this sort of heavy feeling. The world, it's not going to be the same again. Something has changed. Well, we've had the turmoil of Brexit, and then the COVID pandemic, and now this. The world feels so unsettled. Is there a loving God? Many are asking. If so, is he really in charge? Is the end nigh? Is Jesus about to return? Well, for all of these sorts of reasons, it seemed good to us to change our Sunday plan and address this topic today. We've actually come to a natural place in Proverbs that we've been working through, the end of chapter 9. It's a natural breakpoint, and it was always the plan to follow it after Easter and take up Proverbs again, which, God willing, we will do. But I want us to briefly this morning consider this question: how should we respond to the news of war? Much of what I'd like to share comes from Mark 13, and there Jesus speaks right into this situation where there is war and report of war, and when people are fearing that the world is coming to an end. What does Jesus say to help us today? If you have a look at the reading, it starts off with Jesus and his disciples. They're coming out of Jerusalem and they pass the temple buildings, and they're amazing buildings. And the disciples are going, wow, look at these amazing stones and structures. And Jesus rather somberly says, all of it will be destroyed. And so naturally, when they get the chance, they ask him, when is this going to happen? And what will be the sign that it's about to happen? And so Jesus responds with the longest stretch of teaching in Mark's gospel, the whole of chapter 13. And the teaching is all about what we can expect in the time after Jesus has gone. And it's not just about the temple, but he's talking right up to the end when he returns. You see, the disciples thought that when the temple was destroyed, it would lead directly into God's eternal kingdom. The Messiah would rule. There'd be peace and everything would be sorted out. And so while Jesus does address their questions about the temple, even more, he wants to teach them what it's going to be like in this period that they actually hadn't yet grasped, that he's going to go away and then he's going to come again. And there's this period that all of us today are living in. You could sum up what he has to say in verse 5 to 13 that we're going to focus on now like this. All through the time I'm away, wars and trials like this will happen. So don't be deceived and don't be alarmed, but stand firm in faith. Here are the three steps that we're going to follow this through. And first, don't be deceived. This is the first thing Jesus wants to say to us at a difficult time like this. Look at verse 5. Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he, and will deceive many." After the time that Jesus has gone, and before he returns, this period of time that we live in, it's sometimes called the last days in the New Testament. During this time, Jesus says, watch out, because there'll be many who will claim to be the one, the Messiah, or the Christ returned. Now, it's certainly the case that in the decades immediately after Jesus, there was a spate of false messiahs, and some were quite successful in drawing people to follow them. But it never ended well. And ever since those days, hasn't there been a range of charismatic religious leaders that have led people away from Jesus? Now, with hindsight, it's easy to spot them, isn't it? It's easy to see that a Jim Jones or a David Icke were fakes. But all of us today, we may face more subtle and more attractive invitations to follow someone else. And especially when we're feeling disorientated in a time like COVID or this war, we're more susceptible to other voices than Jesus, aren't we? You see, in the turmoil, in the suffering, we might think, where is Jesus? How can he help us? Things have gone wrong, and so we turn to others who claim to be able to give us the truth and who, well, they just sound more attractive. During this pandemic, some have stopped coming to church and other voices have led them off. Someone else claiming to tell them what the key to life is. And there are some who are not here with us today who used to be, because something other than Jesus has become the big thing in their lives. And we pray for them that they'll come back. But remember, those of us who are here, Jesus warned us of these things in advance. It's here. He's the one who has the words of eternal life. And he wants us to stay faithful to him and not be led astray. So here's the first thing he wants to say to us at a time like this. Don't be deceived. And then second, don't be alarmed. Look at verse 7. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. Wars and reports of wars are nothing new. But for most of us in our lifetimes, they've been either a localized affair, like in the former Yugoslavia or in the Falklands, or they've been so distant that they've just not affected us. Think of the wars going on recently in Somalia or in Yemen. You see, we in the West have become complacent almost. Since the end of the Second World War, and especially since the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, we have thought that the age of war between civilized, so-called civilized countries, is over. We have imagined that we have evolved, matured, beyond that kind of thing. Carol, one of our congregations, shared with me some words of the evangelist J. John this week, which I found really helpful, and so I'm going to quote them now. This is a wake-up call for the church. We have followed too closely the naive philosophy of the world that there is nothing so seriously wrong with human beings that science and prosperity will not cure. This appalling invasion of Ukraine demonstrates the sad biblical truth that human beings are inclined to evil, and that only the grace of God in Christ can truly bring peace. We have been inclined to consider evil to belong to fantasy realms such as Narnia and Middle Earth. The sad reality is that evil, whether subtle or blatant, is present in our worlds. So, dear friends, do we need to wake up? What if this period of post-war history, where we've had this, what is called a rules-based international order that's been undergirded by American power, what if this is not going to last? It does look like it's crumbling, doesn't it? Remember what Jesus says. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Such things have happened since the beginning of human history, since the fall. And all through the time since Jesus has gone. Nations have sought to build empires. And we are foolish if we think we are past this. But it's not just wars in these times. It is also earthquakes in various places and famines. And in Luke's gospel, when he records these teachings of Jesus, Jesus also mentions plagues and pestilences. So things like the COVID pandemic are part of this age that we live in, part of this broken world that needs a savior. And these things are not necessarily a sign that the end is imminent. Look at verse 7. They are, in fact, a sign that the end is not yet. Ever since Jesus left, there have always been wars and earthquakes and famines. And at many times, people have felt like it was the end of the world. That's how it must have felt for Christians in the Middle Ages. In the 14th century, 1/3 of the population of Europe died of the plague. It must have felt like the world was coming to an end. Or in Europe, if you lived in Europe when the Nazis overran it and did those awful things, it must have felt like the world was coming to an end. Or what about recently for the people of Tonga with that volcano and tsunami? I'm currently reading through a very interesting book called Dominion by Tom Holland. I've got it here. He's a sympathetic, I don't think he's a Christian, but he's a sympathetic historian, looking at a history of the church and how Christianity has shaped our culture and the way Westerners think. And one of the things that has really surprised me about this book is how often, through the history of the church, pretty much in all eras, people have thought Jesus is imminently going to return. Time and again, people have looked at the things going on and said, he's about to come. But of course, up until now, they have all been wrong. So even today, don't be alarmed by these things. They may not signify the imminent coming of Jesus. In fact, they are described here in verse 8 as like the beginnings of birth pains. Early labor contractions indicate that a birth is coming. But as some of you know, it can be a rather long process before the joy of the baby is born. And in the same way, our world is going through birth pains. Yes, wonderfully, one day the baby is going to be born. We'll enter the new heaven and the new earth. Later in his teaching, down in verse 24 of this chapter, Jesus says, when he comes, it'll be unmistakably clear. Look at verse 24. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give light. The stars will fall from the sky. No one will be in any doubt when that happens. And then in verse 32, he makes it clear. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. So, dear friends, don't be deceived and don't be alarmed about what is going on. Now, this is hard, isn't it? Jesus' teaching is not as comforting as we might like. Jesus is saying these things must happen. They are in God's sovereign plan for his world. And we know, don't we? We had the chance last term to look at Revelation. And we saw all of this there, didn't we? And we saw wonderfully how God is on the throne. Do you remember, if you were here, I used an illustration that likened the history of the world as like a movie set with all these scary things going on at times. But there in the middle of the movie set is the director's chair with someone sitting on it who's got it all in hand. And that is the Lord, our God. He's on the throne. Or to use another metaphor, God has got the steering wheel of history. Yes, there are some pretty difficult things to drive through, but he's got his hands on the wheel. So don't be deceived and don't be alarmed. But then finally, and positively, how should we respond? How should we respond positively to this situation? Stand firm in Christ. Stand firm in Christ. Let me read verse 13 to you as this concludes our reading. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Jesus' teaching, as I was saying, is not easy to take. And in fact, on top of the problems we've already thought about, he says that his people will face persecution during these last days. That's what verse 9 to verse 13 is all about. Now, it's not the purpose today to think about persecution in detail. But it's enough, isn't it, to notice that Jesus tells us, verse 9, be on your guard. There will be times when Christians are arrested and have to give account to the authorities, when we'll be caught up in the mess. And he assures us in these times, verse 11, don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words in that crisis. But please notice the summary words again in verse 13. Stand firm to the end. That's our task in these days. Stand firm. Don't give up. Don't move away from Jesus. Stand firm. And that means keeping on trusting him and keeping on serving him. So what will it mean to live out being faithful people in this time of this war in Europe? And here I'm going to give three suggestions that come from wider New Testament teaching. Three things, three ways for us to stand firm in Christ and serve him today and be a blessing to those around us so that we don't just survive but thrive. First, prayer. Ephesians 6 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Or in 1 Timothy it says, pray for kings and rulers, for all in authority, that we may be able to have peace and live peaceful and quiet lives. God is in the director's chair, and he loves it when we pray to him. He wants us to keep on bothering him all the time and bring situations like this to him. He loves to answer our prayers. So what can we pray for? Well, we can, as it says in 1 Timothy, pray for rulers and the world leaders at this time, that they will have wisdom and courage to do the right thing. And also, we can pray for those who are frightened at this time. Many are. And we can pray for those who are suffering and those who are already grieved. And then pray for those who are bent on evil, that somehow they may have a change of heart, or that their evil plans may be thwarted. And also pray for God's people in Ukraine and in Russia at this time. There's prayer. And then second, practical help. The great Christian commandments are love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now this conflict has just begun, but there will be opportunities for us to act and to help. There's always more to do than just pray. I am sure that if it's not Tearfund, our mission partner, there will be others on the ground soon providing help. Let us keep our ears open to ways that we may help them. Already, you'll have heard in the news, over 100,000 people have fled Ukraine. That is a huge humanitarian problem. And then think of those you know who are from that part of the world. Here in Park Street, we are friends with families from Poland and Romania, and they have a border with Ukraine. This is really frightening for them as they think of their families. We can offer them care and concern at this time. And then finally, proclamation. In the middle of our reading, did you notice? You suddenly get this line. It sort of just pops out unexpectedly. And the gospel, verse 10, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Here is the main reason that God hasn't put a stop to all of this broken human world. Because he has good news. He wants people to be saved. He has a plan. As Peter reminds us in his letter, he is patient with us, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. The good news of salvation must go out to the nations. And at a hard time like this, we need to be reminded of this, which is to be our number one priority, to share the good news. During Hot Shots this week, a couple of church mums were doing Christianity Explored with a mum from Hot Shots, which is really exciting. As they were doing it, though, some older children came and threw an egg at the window of the Beckingham room where they were sitting. And it just struck me, the symbolism of that. It was almost as if someone was not happy that gospel proclamation was going on. It was a reminder of the importance of what was going on in that room and that we're on the right track. In fact, I was even encouraged by the fact that this happened, and it should spur us on to keep at it, keep sharing the good news. So, dear friends, as we come to a close, how can we respond to this war in Ukraine? Well, don't be deceived and don't be alarmed. All through the last days, Jesus says these things will happen. So stand firm in Christ through prayer, through practical love, and through proclamation. Let's keep at it. Let's spur one another on to love and good deeds, brothers and sisters. And let's pray for our world at this time. I'll lead us in a short prayer, and then John is going to come and continue to lead us in some more extended prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your love. And thank you for Jesus' words that just help us at this time to keep going and to stand firm with you. Oh Lord, help us now as we pray, as we bring this situation to you. And would you guard our hearts and the hearts of all who are suffering. In Jesus' name.